We're doing our class on the Jewish home. Last week we discussed the importance of making our wives feel special. Achati yonati tamati. The verse in Song of Songs says that my beloved, my dove, is singular, and we said it's not only about doing acts and saying it, it's about ensuring that she feels that way. And we broke it down to two aspects. One is how I behave, if she's really the unique one in my life, and two is how I ensure she registers that message. We're moving on within that same concept. The verse says, when Hashem in the Garden of Eden speaks to the woman, he tells her, "Ve'el ishech teshukatech," you will be desiring of your husband. And we will focus on that verse for the coming weeks. Our sages give us multiple interpretations of that verse. Ve'el ishech teshukatech. Your desire will revolve around your husband. You will be desiring of him. So, example number one. You're on your way out. You're leaving. You're in a rush. And your wife says one more thing. Guys, this is going to happen every time you want to leave the house. Just one more thing. And you stop, and you're in a rush. And it looks like she doesn't even know what she wants to tell you. But just one more thing. Ve'lishech teshukatech. Hashem created them. The Talmud says that when you leave the house, it's hard for them. You're leaving for an hour, for a morning, for a day, and she feels like you're leaving for eternity. You're leaving me? I'm not leaving you. Wait, I'll be back in an hour. I'll be back in a few hours. I'll be back tonight. So this idea that Western civilization speaks about giving a kiss before you leave, a kiss and a hug, it's not a bad idea. I'm not saying you should necessarily do it in front of the kids, but the idea that when you leave the house, that parting means more to her than it does to you, that's a reality.
You can't hug your wife in front of your kids?
That's a separate subject to be discussed. How much affection to show in front of the kids. It's good to show affection in front of the kids. It's also important to maintain modesty in front of the kids. Where you draw the line is a tough question. Like, where does it become immodest? You're going to kiss your wife one way in the bedroom, you're going to kiss her differently in front of the kids, if at all. That's like the line where you'll find different opinions. In Israel, there are many who believe that you should show no affection in front of the kids, meaning it's enough that you respect her and the kids know that because your affection is cherished, it's expressed in private. In the United States, the approach is a little bit more open, where people speak more of showing affection in front of the kids. Again, the question is, where does it cross the line of modesty? Obviously, certain touch should not be done in front of the kids. Where do you draw that line? So that's a difficult call. Coming back to, so number one, ve'elishech teshukatech. So we said, the first example is when you leave the house, it's hard for her. There's a mitzvah, and the Talmud says, if you're leaving for a journey, you're not going to be home tonight. So then there's a mitzvah for the couple to be intimate the night before you leave for a journey and the night you get back. Because in her mind, your leaving means more than it does in your mind. In your mind, I'll be right back. Well, there's a telephone. I'll see you soon. In her mind, you're leaving. It's a big deal. And so it's important to call home every so often. It's important to send an SMS. It's important to keep that connection. You leave a note behind. She finds it in an hour, in 2 hours. Elishech teshukatech. She has that desire that's different than ours. We like the relationship, but we, so to speak, we have another life. She has no other life. And that's the second point in Elishech teshukatech. That if a woman has a big job and she's a CEO and she's making millions, at the end of the day, the house is number one. The guy could have a house and all he does is he cleans stairs, but he has a life. He has something else in his life. To the woman, the house is focus and her relationship with her husband is the most important thing. And if there's a rift between him and her, so her life is in shatters, but to the husband, he has friends, He has a job. He has interests. He can watch a movie. Okay, we don't do that. He can go on the computer. He has other things in his life. By her, there's one focus. There's the home. There's the relationship. And everything else is not even secondary. It's not on the same map. Yes? There are many answers to that question.
Okay. Separate discussion, maybe.
No, I don't mind. Let's. Okay. I want us to begin. The question was asked that sometimes the husband very much. Has a focus on the home, and the wife has a very busy social life. Today, a woman could be on Facebook, and you walk into the house, and she's like, hi, and she's back with her Facebook friends. There definitely is a scenario today where the house can be secondary, where the kids are a nuisance. Why are you bothering me? I'm on Facebook. I'll get to dinner in a minute. I'm on Facebook. Just a second. I just have to make one more post, and then I'll come. And it's 10:30 at night, and the kids are still hungry, but she hasn't finished her posts and reading what her friend wrote that she served for dinner. Because, yes, there definitely is that challenge. You could be sitting in class and hear people's cell phones going off, yeah? So there's definitely that challenge today. I would, not Mahon Meir, right. If you hear it, it's just a crank call. Yes. Before we discuss the real issue, I want to discuss a different issue. I'll tell you about myself. I won't talk about you guys. I'll tell you about me. Okay. True story. I was learning in yeshiva, and I didn't have too much family here in Israel. I did not go back on holidays. I would stay in yeshiva and learn and learn and learn. And even on the holidays, I was learning. I would challenge myself sometimes how many weeks I could go without seeing the front door of yeshiva, meaning the dorm was connected to the Beis Medrash, and I'd go from my bed to the Beis Medrash, shower in the middle, whatever, back to the bed, back to the Beis Medrash. Like, I challenged myself. I'd notice suddenly, hey, it's been 3-4 weeks. I never saw the front door. I just went. I said, wow, I wonder, you know. It wasn't a hard challenge. It was like an interesting challenge.
Literally, no exaggeration.
Literally,
you
yeah.
You leave the yeshiva for 3 weeks in a row.
Right. Where do I have to go? I'm living the dream. Okay, so when I needed a break, I'd go for a walk. But when I didn't need the break, I was learning. I remember after a few years doing this, I started dating. And at one point, I called my parents and I said, I'm not sure I should be dating because I'm enjoying the date just because I'm talking to someone. It's the first time in a long time I'm having a conversation. You know, it's been weeks where my head's been in the Gemara, months now, and suddenly I'm talking to someone about other things. So maybe I have to take a breather before I go out on a date. Maybe I have to go, like you said, for a walk, for conversations, because if I'm coming to the date, this is fun. I'm talking to someone, right? So then I'm not at a place psychologically where I should be dating right now, right? So I'm telling you a true story about myself. I'm saying I was in yeshiva and I was learning Baruch Hashem. I was so focused for a long time that when it came time to date, I suddenly caught myself enjoying the date just because I was having interaction about something else. It was entertaining to be out of the Gemara, right? So I think that there's definitely the potential that a person who has spent time after being chozer b'tshuva, being in yeshiva, being in an all-male environment, and being without family, if a person did giyur or made aliyah, so suddenly a person has had a period where they haven't had that family. So then suddenly it's like a person who's been in the desert. You come out of the desert, you're ravenous. So then a person might have a greater desire for a close relationship with their spouse than other people would. I'm not saying it's a handicap. I'm saying it's something to think about. I gave you the first example was about me. I'm saying, you know, I was here in Israel, I don't know how many years, without really being by family. So you guys, Bezrat Hashem, have it different. You know, you have adopted families, you have friends here. I definitely think it's important that people who rent apartments don't rent them alone. Even if you have a job and you leave the apartment, be with other people. Until you get married, you shouldn't be alone in an apartment. It's not good. You get used to yourself too much. Then suddenly a wife comes into the picture and it's annoying. Be with other people. It's important. It forces you to compromise. But that's not the main point. I'm just saying, as an aside, once you brought up the subject that today we can see the world switched, so part of why a man would have a greater need for that connection can stem from the opposite extreme, a prolonged period where a person did not have a family structure, he wasn't with his family. And we should be careful about that, because it's fine, a person should get married and have his time together with his wife and everything should be beautiful, but if she's coming from a normal scenario, you know, she's been with her family the whole time, so you don't want to smother her. That's the flip side. People make the mistake of thinking they should spend a lot of time at home. A relationship can thrive when you leave the house in the morning. If you're going to stay home all day, you're going to destroy the relationship. Even if you're dying to have a relationship and you want to spend time with her, you could go for a walk every so often, you could meet during the day, but in order for a relationship to really work, right, you have to spend a large part of the day separate. Right. Then when you get together for an hour or two or three or four, whatever amount of time it is, it's exciting. People destroy their marriages this way. I know people who thought it would be a great idea to work from home, people who thought, even when they're unemployed, I tell people, leave the house, go to the public library.
Right.
Go to a Beis Medrash, but don't be home. Your relationship can't last. Okay, I'm saying. The pasuk says. Most people find it challenging. The verse says, "Hokar raglecha mibet re'echa," make your feet precious in your friend's house. It shouldn't be a common thing. It should be cherished. Pen yisba'acha, lest he gets satiated, he's had enough of you, usneka, and then he'll hate you. Pasuk in Mishlei, it's pasuk in Proverbs. Hokar raglecha mibet re'echa, pen yisba'acha usneka. The pasuk says. So, in Yiddish they say, a guest is like fish. The first day you buy a fish, it's delicious. The second day it's good. The third day it's like borderline, and by the fourth day it's stinking up your house. So in show business, we always say, leave them wanting more. A good speech is one where everyone feels like you stopped too soon. You don't want people to be saying, hey, isn't it time you stopped already? And on that note, good night.